There will be no cold open today because cold opens are something they usually feature, a handful of friends bantering before the more official show starts. People tell a few personal stories and maybe crack a joke or two before they really get into the flow of feeling like they're on the pod. Everybody's a little loosey-goosey up front. So you get a little bit of gold sometimes in those 10 or 15 minutes when we're all hanging out before the pod starts. But given it's just me here, and nobody else decided to join me, there will be no cold open. So enjoy the intro song. We'll see you in the next one.
Thanks for flying Southwest, and we hope to see you back real soon.
Very, very, very happy that the best sport in the world is back in season.
Feels good every time.
Every spin, I screamed louder.
Brian, I know we're all football guys and football guys, guys.
Yeah, I'm a football guy.
Jordan dropped Marcus last week, so.
Oh, God, Jordan!
I have a lot to say about this.
So this is the best time of the year for us.
Psych!
Hello and welcome to another episode. Some might say the final episode of the season of the Semi-Pro Ducks Fantasy Football Podcast. I'd say we have a good one here for you today, folks, but given the fact that you hear my voice as the host, you all can imagine that's probably not true, and I wouldn't lie to you good people. I hope everybody's having a wonderfully happy non-denominational holiday season as you all hang out with your families. Nothing says holiday spirit like me, Jordan, sitting in my office by myself 2 days before Christmas. Me, the guy not involved in the playoffs in any meaningful fashion. Me, the guy who's not particularly good at hosting the podcast or doing intros. And me, the person that just kind of rambles on with no show notes, sitting here on a Zoom by myself. So that's just the situation we're in. And, if you all have tuned into the podcast, just know that you all did this to yourselves. So we may have one special guest popping in as we roll, but time during this part of the year is precious, as you all have proven by not being here. So I'm just going to talk for a bit, and is the analysis going to be good? Absolutely not. Would it be better if some of you guys were on? For sure. Would the flow and banter be better? It's absolutely no doubt. So that's where we're at. I suppose we could talk Ducks first, as that's how this show normally goes. Oh, I just got a text. Oh, nice. Special guest coming soon. Ducks Rose Bowl confirmed versus Ohio State. All right, hold on. I'm going to hold this thought until our guest gets on.
Buen dia.
What's up, yo?
Can't hear me, can you?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, cool.
I've been able to hear you. You can hear me? All right.
You've been able to hear me.
I've been hearing you. Well, you just saved me. I just did like 2.5 minute intro by myself, and I'm not very good at it. I was ready to do this pod by myself.
Yeah, appreciate you doing that.
We're going to delete that from the archives. I don't know how long you can be on for, but I'm not going to go much longer, probably.
No, yeah, that's fine. We can just do it quick. Did you already do something or?
I already did it, but maybe that'll be. Maybe right. That'll be the cold.
Did you already pod with anybody else, or is
no?
This is
you're the only person that has even remotely agreed to being on. So, I think this is gonna be the episode.
What's Pitt doing?
He recorded something to send to me. So,
okay, right.
Probably jerking off in a room in his in-law's house or something.
Oh, sounds good to me. Don't have to ask me twice.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to do a new intro. I think my horrible intro is just going to be the intro, and then we'll kind of cut this in because no sense in wasting your time with an intro.
No.
I was just about
to talk. I don't do intros. I just finish. That's all I do.
You don't start?
I never start.
They call you the finisher.
I'm never finished. I've never started. So
where does that push you?
Somewhere in the middle.
Somewhere in the middle. I was just about to talk Ducks. I mean, let's just jump into it because we have no time to spare. What do you think about rematching against Ohio State?
Not happy about it. Would have loved to play Tennessee. Pretty annoying that we were underdogs. Kind of weird.
It's a little crazy to me.
Yeah. Are you pumped for the Rose Bowl more so than if it was Tennessee?
I wanted it to be Tennessee just because I thought it'd be fun to play somebody new. But I also like now that, I mean, given the way that last weekend went, and I mean, Ohio State clearly looks like they could be the second best team in the country behind us, or according to Vegas, apparently first. But
that's insane to me. It's weird. They have been so bad. I mean, they lost to Michigan.
We proved that we could beat them. We didn't even play an amazing game against them. I mean, we played well, but not our perfect game, and they've been only worse since. So
I'm a little stressed out, but you know, it'll be all right. I was gonna be stressed out no matter what. So
yeah, I'm stressed, but I'm also, the way I'm rationalizing that stress is like, I mean, a lot of people have been saying it, but it feels like whoever wins this
could very easily
be the national champion. I think whoever wins this is clearly the most talented, best team left. So it's like the fact that, I guess for me personally, at least, getting to go to the Rose Bowl and be there for like, hey, our biggest game is in a place where Oregon usually plays pretty damn well in the Rose Bowl. It's our toughest opponent, but it's an opponent we already showed we could beat. It's on the West Coast. And we're very rested, more than them.
Yeah.
We're healthy as hell.
Healthy as hell. Healthy.
I don't know. I don't see any particular reason why they're favored, but I know it's going to be a competitive game. It's like, hey, win this one, and I think we're all going to feel like it's a little bit downhill from here. So that's a good feeling.
Yeah. It's going to be, I feel like, on the other side of the bracket, it's Penn State and Texas, right? Those are the two.
No, Texas is on our side. If we win, and Texas beats ASU, we would have to go. That one kind of sucks. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. It still is easier to me than Ohio State, but I don't really want to talk about it, but that one, that's pretty frustrating.
Yeah. Oh, well, we got one more to go before we even need to talk about that. Yeah. So
I'm
ready for a heartbreak. So
don't do that. It feels, I mean, look, I know we say that, but
yeah, I mean,
it's been a pretty special year.
Yeah, it's,
I don't know.
Oh, it'll be good. It'll be a good game either way. If it is anything like the first game, it'll be exciting as hell.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the other thing. That was also just one of the most fun games I've ever been to in my whole entire life. So it's like,
oh my God,
let's run it back. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, exactly. And it'll feel twice as good when we go 2-0.
Yeah, it'll be.
Even though, yeah. Although I'm kind of like, I don't know. Do you ever feel like you run out of Ohio State hate? Like, I hated them so much earlier in the year, and then they were so bad. And it's like, I'll get there.
Yeah, it's like they've already been embarrassed by Michigan. And so it's not like all the things you hate Ohio State for, where they just like, they're just a machine and just whoop up on every Big Ten team, is like, they kind of had their tail between their legs a little bit at some point and felt ashamed. And so it's like, I understand where you're coming from with that, but I also still, if we look at Ohio State, it's going to fucking suck.
It's the villain who you thought was dead, and then turns out they're not actually dead. So they're back meaner than ever.
Yeah, but even every good superhero knows You don't just take one shot at the villain and the villain's done. That's not how this shit works.
That's not a good movie, is it? No. And if there's one thing superheroes care about, it's theater. Okay.
Yeah. Not saving civilians. Not the good
shit Andy, about that.
But making it past Act One in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Can't tell you the last superhero movie I watched.
No, I don't. I don't know. I'm assuming that's a trope. I don't watch enough to know. I will not be in theaters for the release of the new Superman movie in a couple months.
Punishment for the next loser. You have to watch all Marvel movies. All 150 wow. Marvel movies.
I really hate that.
Yeah.
And
you
like,
can't fast forward. You got to watch or be on your phone. You got to watch the whole thing.
You know what? That would be because I would legitimately really hate that.
It'd be a good one for a second punishment.
No, I think I think it's second punishment, and you need to whenever the boys' weekend that follows is or whatever gathering, PowerPoint presentation explaining the connective tissue between the movies where we see overlap in the universes. That's pretty
this
good.
This is porn stuff. That's good. That's not that's a good punishment. Also helpful for the boys to understand this world and universe on a more Marvel level.
That's pretty good. That's a punishment where I genuinely would hate, but also would accept more than I would accept flying across the country and back.
Yeah, that's pointless.
That's pretty good. I think we just came up with something really nice, but it can't be.
I like that.
It can't be if like Duncan loses for the fifth time because he likes Marvel movies. So that doesn't count.
True. Yeah. Duncan, if you're listening to this, close your ears. Yeah. 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. I'll cut that in to 5 minutes before we were just talking about that.
Yeah. I will say there are some good Marvel movies. I don't like how they've gone like the extent that we don't need to talk anymore about Marvel movies.
Is Madam Web is Madam Web a Marvel movie?
Madam Web, huh? Ha ha ha. I don't know. That's a good question.
Okay. All right. The next special guest that pops on, I'll ask them the same question.
Yeah, save that for the next guest. Dunk can talk about that when he's on next.
Yeah. We're going to have Andrew on talking about his loss last week.
Tough.
Well, now that we've talked ducks, now that we've come up with a double punishment. It's Monday night, but the week's over. Let's talk a little fantasy football.
Week's over before it's even over.
It is. Crazy. It's over before it's even over. Barring any major stat corrections, I must put the asterisk on there. Let's start talking about the Toilet Bowl. Barring any stat corrections, Kittle House in the Prairie is currently losing by 48 points to a tale of two CDs, Nick Fronik, in the bottom bracket game, and is projected to lose by nearly 65 points. Again, unless we didn't notice a 5-touchdown flurry from Jaylen Warren, I think we can pretty much say that one's locked in. And then in my matchup, Bobby Dix looking very likely to lose and drop into the Toilet Bowl final after losing it to me, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John once again, unless I can manage a minus 14 points with my two Green Bay Packers playing tonight. It's not impossible, but it is unlikely in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, finish the year strong, just in classic Jordan fashion.
I wonder.
You could have been a number one. You could have been a one seed, in my opinion. That's just my opinion, though.
What I will say is, of course, the second I get into the toilet bracket, I start to win football games. I've now won two weeks in a row in Constellation Bracket. I'm sure I'll win another one. If I can win If I get three wins in the consolation bracket after only seeing four wins the entire rest of the season, that's going to be pretty annoying. But I'm sort of
That's crazy that when you go up against the bottom half of the league, you win every game. When you play statistically worse teams.
What's interesting about that is I would have beaten you this week.
Whoa.
And I'm also projected.
You're projected to beat me.
Okay. I would be sweating out Monday Night Football, needing a total of 15 points from my two Green Bay Packers, which I think Josh Jacobs has probably gotten in the last 9 weeks that he's played.
He's so good.
He's so good. You should be. You're supposed to be the Josh Jacobs guy, I feel.
I used to be the Josh Jacobs guy.
It's not a good year to not be the Josh Jacobs guy, but we'll talk about
you. It's worked out fine for me. And I think you figured it out. And Andrew and the other
not Josh Jacobs havers.
I would say that Josh Jacob havers versus Josh Jacob have nots. The record speaks for itself.
Josh Jacobs is projected for 22 points tonight.
Josh Jacob Haver.
Josh Jacob.
Michael Schmidt. Something there.
Yeah. Keep working on that one.
Yeah, I'll workshop it. It sounded better in my head, but
record it. Work it out. Record it by tomorrow morning. Put some music. Overlay some music. We got a hit.
There we go.
I'll put it in the pod. I was right that Josh Jacobs has not scored under 19.5 points since week 9. So
sick, bro.
And hasn't scored under 10 since week 4.
Yeah, okay. The Packers are good, okay?
I know it. That's why I picked him. That's why I traded for Jaden Reed. He's good too.
Mm-hmm.
He's not.
Could have had Tank Dell.
I wish. Anywho, well, that's our matchup is Bobby Dix versus Kittle House on the Prairie. I don't have the semi-pro reference sheet, I realize, to look up all the fun stats that Pip normally would.
This is going to suck for our listeners.
This is not good for our listeners, but I didn't want to get put in this situation, okay? I don't think I deserve to be hosting this. Nobody ever said I'm good at this. I'm here by absolute necessity. Tim would be on top of this. Pip would be on top of this. Rick would certainly be on top of this.
The other 10 members of the league probably would be on top
most
of this
probably right would be, but
we're on top of each other.
That reminds me. Yeah. They'd be on top of it. I'm just on top of them. I don't know. What I will tell you is before we get into this real quick, again, you just
tell me,
give me like a 5 to 10 minute buzzer when you got to leave. Hit the what she said button or whatever you got. I would have prepared more, but life has been busy, which seems like a crazy thing for one of the people with no kid to say. I recognize how horrible that sounds. That being said, on Friday night, we hosted a Christmas party, important context. Had a very busy work week leading up to that. So it's always stressful, like you're trying to get the house ready and stuff for a Christmas party.
Yeah, stressful.
Thursday night. So dial it back 24 hours from the Christmas party at Casa de Lojo. We'll put the sound, we'll put the time warp sound effect in post. Yeah. I'll edit this part out.
Gotcha.
Take it back 24 hours. We had gone, pretty busy day at work, headed straight from work to watch Broncos Chargers Ducks QB battle bowl for my buddy James's birthday at a bar on the other side of town.
Good birthday present.
Great birthday celebration. He's a big duck. And anyways, so
you had a birthday party for a big duck.
Yeah, friend,
you can continue, star.
Thanks. Went out, watched Ducks play quarterback. Good game. Both boys played well.
Mm-hmm.
Look, mm-hmm. One of them had to win, one had to lose.
That's just how it goes.
Bada boom, bada bing. We left you know, 8:30, whenever it is, get home. 9 o'clock now.
Okay.
All that's left to do. We know we got a big day coming tomorrow. I needed to wrap up some work and start to prep the house and whatnot that night. Let the dogs out is really the only thing we needed to do.
Let them run.
Most of the time, no problem. We got a backyard, bro. It's no big deal. That's great to let them out.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe at most they get a little bit of muddy paws and we got to wipe their feet down coming back in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which...
No sweat off my back. The problem is that there was a skunk in our backyard.
I was going to guess a skunk.
Yes. I don't know if you know... I don't know how much you know about skunks.
They're... Well, I would guess you have two smart gals. They're not just going to go right after the skunk.
Right. So they came back to me and said, hey, Dad, you need to get that skunk because we're not going anywhere near that thing.
No. We're not going to try... Yeah.
We're absolutely not going to run up on it and just bark our fucking brains out and freak the fuck out of this skunk as it's pinned against the fence. So my girls got sprayed.
Oh, skunk dogs.
Yeah. They got sprayed. I ran out there in my socks, just like slopping around in the wet grass in my socks.
Love it. Yeah.
Trying to chase our dogs away from the skunk. Cause I basically had looked out there, heard them barking their tails off at something. I'm like, definitely an animal out here. This is not just like them playing. I was thinking stray cat, probably. I had maybe half a second where I thought it might be a raccoon, but then once I saw what it was, I realized this is maybe the biggest problem of all.
Raccoon would have been better.
Yeah, I realized that raccoons probably have rabies. They seem dangerous. That would have been a gnarly fight, but
yeah.
Look, raccoon's not
probably getting out of there though. He's not putting up a fight, you know?
Right. Raccoons don't really have defense mechanisms other than maybe kind of putting their claws up in the air and trying to act big. That probably would have been fine. Unfortunately, spray. I think Cleo especially got sprayed in the face. I had to run them off, try to get them inside. Unfortunately, we couldn't just leave them outside because the fucking skunk is out here and they're not going to stop trying to chase the skunk. So there's nowhere to go. Eventually it did, but I couldn't, you know, it wasn't bolting or anything. So it's like, I have to get the dogs inside because that's the only way. So we rushed them inside. They're in bonus room. Fortunately, it goes to like bonus room where we don't really use it. But then we
currently
basically
skunk room.
Now it's the skunk room. Yes. Moved them into the garage. And then basically spent the next 2-3 hours figuring out the best potions and solutions to make them not smell like skunk anymore. I gave them each two baths. Yeah, each two baths that night. And it's also like, again, there's nowhere, like, I only have so many like towels and they're like slopping up the, you know, anything in that room, they're slopping it up and, you know, getting slightly skunky water everywhere. And
Dad, I got to get this smell off me. You might have to rub on this couch and on this wall.
And so, I mean, dude, the garage smelled horrible. Just because we had to park them out there for a while. It smells so bad. But anyways, long story short.
That sounds like hell.
Yeah. And I went to bed thinking, well, there's no way that we're still doing the Christmas party tomorrow. But we woke up and it wasn't horrible in the house in general. It was still pretty bad in the two rooms, but those are kind of like cut off where we can close them off a little bit. Yeah, anyways, dogs, we got some skunk shampoo delivered overnight because all the pet places were closed the night before. And we were able to mostly get their smell out. Cleo like still stinks just a little bit if you get too close to her, but nothing you can do. I mean, we cleaned everything in the house frantically. I had like a hellish work day too. I was trying to work and get the skunk out, and we probably lit like 28 candles across every room in the house, you know? Eventually it smelled not so bad that like our friends couldn't tell. So
that's that. And then you reveal to them, you're like, would you believe there was a skunk in here last night?
Yeah.
Wow.
I definitely warned people before coming in. I don't know if people, anybody's allergic to skunk juice or not. So
skunk juice, that sounds like a dastardly concoction.
Yeah.
Four Loko and just Four Loko.
I looked up, there's some
skunk juice.
There's some cocktail, because somebody said we should make skunk cocktails, but what is it called? Skunk water.
Mm.
It's
appetizing.
It's vodka. Where is it at? Vodka, vermouth, anchovy, clam juice, ice, and a cherry tomato.
I'm so good on that. I'm so good on that. Oh, you want to just make up a nasty, random drink out of the most disgusting things you found in your fridge?
Yeah, that's sure. Definitely like when you're kids and you're like, we're going to make a smoothie of just everything we can find in the fridge. Yeah. And then, you know, somebody that loses a race or some shit has to have a drink. Yeah. That's like that the scene worst in,
the scene in Succession where they make each other do that. But also, I won't say necessarily less disgusting than that, but just as weird. Greg used to do that with a lot of stuff. And one of his favorite thing that he would make was Cheeto juice. And it really wasn't any, it was just dissolving Cheetos in water and then drinking it to be a little circus freak to entertain me and my friends. We didn't make him do that. He was doing it on his own accord. So
that's funny. That reminds me, in high school, there was me and one of my buddies. I don't know why this makes me think of this, but me and one of my buddies were seniors, but we had to take like a freshman sophomore like history class, basically, to, you know, for like credits wise, for whatever reason we like hadn't taken it in the past. And so it was very like simple history stuff. It was like US like simple US history. And there were a lot of like presentation moments where you'd have to present like it's like thinking back on it, it's like, why did we do this shit? But one of them was like, I was like, you had a few different options, but one of them was like coming up with an invention, because you're learning about like the great inventors. And so we wanted to make a perfume that smelled like fruit roll-ups. And so we basically took like spray bottles, we dissolved fruit roll-ups in like vinegar and or you know something to where it would like we're like, how do you like dilute and like you know whatever, and all so we like dissolved them in, and then basically our entire presentation was like putting on music. It was like Pump Up the Jam, or it was like the Space Jam theme song, something like that, you know, whatever. Maybe y'all ready for this, but that's the one probably. And we ran in and just started spraying people with our precaution, and I'm pretty sure it like stained a few people's t-shirts, because it's just
red dye,
food colored dye in vinegar. It's like, yeah, no shit, that's gonna like stain somebody's white t-shirt that their mom bought them maybe. So just
these
us
guys
like,
are crazy.
The crazy seniors ruining freshmen's t-shirts. That's
pretty good.
Yeah,
that's good one.
All right.
Good stuff.
All right. I'm not sure how we got here, but you want to talk fantasy real quick?
Yeah, let's get back to fantasy, I guess. Okay. Without the help of the we'll have some people put it in some fun facts in the chat afterwards, you know.
Yeah. For sure.
Those with access to the semi pro ducks.
As long as you have time to talk about both matchups, I think let's start by talking Toilet Bowl. Like I said, Luke and Brandon, the reason I brought up the stats, I believe it's both of their first time in the Toilet Bowl, I would imagine.
That sounds right.
It sounds right. I think certainly they would both be first time losers. But yeah, I don't think either of them has even played. Obviously Luke, we've talked about it on the pod. It's surprising to see him in this position, but you know, obviously kind of a tank season. And then even Brandon's had his up and down years, but you definitely don't ever think of Brandon as having like a very bottom tier team. And I don't think anybody's felt like that about his team this year, to be honest. But let's start with Brandon. Brandon starting off the playoffs as the 5 seed. I mentioned he lost to me this week. He had lost in the 7-8 matchup. Sorry, I said 5 seed, but I had that flip. He's the 8 seed, so second highest in this constellation bracket. lost only by 2.5 points in the first round to Jared, which is a bummer because that would have saved his season. But yeah, a pretty decisive victory by me this week. Brandon has put up about 102 against Jared. He put up 108 against me. Definitely not the numbers you feel like you need to win any given week in our league. But yeah, Brandon's been decently solid this year. I've kind of got his team pulled up this week, but I'm curious, how do you think Brandon ended up here?
I was just checking that out. I mean, I know he had all those quarterback issues earlier in the year, just kind of flip-flopping quarterbacks, riding the Kirk Cousins bus. But and Bo hasn't been, like, I don't think season changing, but he's number 9 quarterback in the year. I feel like
he's been the solution since he's gotten.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I mean, didn't help Pacheco getting hurt. That was another nail in the proverbial coffin. And then I don't know. I feel like he's talked about this a lot about how Harrison didn't pan out, but yeah, I don't know. Just a couple. It's all it takes. A couple wrong bets, and you could be in the toilet bowl too, you know. But yeah, it's certainly not all misses, because his team still looks pretty good. I mean,
there's a bunch of misters, even. It's not all misses.
A few misters, one or two misters. Yeah, looking at his team, I just by name recognition alone, if you had told me that Bo Nix had a good season and I didn't know how anyone else did this season, I'd be like, that team is probably in the playoffs. Looks pretty good. Depending on how nauseing the Steelers do. But yeah, tough. Tough way to go out.
I agree. It's still not an ugly team to look at. And
that's got to be super. He probably loves hearing that. It's not a bad team.
Yeah.
Yet
incredible.
So
it's weird. But other than, I mean, that being said, other than, like, obviously Amon-Ra is going to be good. And other than, like, Addison and Zay Flowers have each had, like, 3 or 4 week runs at different point in the season where they were really hot. I don't think you can consider any of these other players on his roster like a major hit. Like, oh wow, that was a really, really good draft pick by Brandon. Basically, the only two people you could say about that is Amon-Ra and the pickup of Bo Nix. Everybody else has been a little bit tricky for one reason or another. Addison has been very good lately. So yeah, that's I feel the same about Brandon. On Luke, Luke opened up the constellation bracket in the 9-10 matchup against Rick. As a reminder, Luke also only lost that first matchup by 2 points, losing 95-93 against Rick. Again, tough to know that one completed pass downfield to your receiver could have saved your season, but when you put up 93 points, not a lot of complaining that you can do about matchup luck. And then, of course, this past week certainly met a version of the Fronik team that I don't think any of us expected to see this season. Fronik kind of weaseled his way into a crazy lineup this week with all these players that he's just been sitting on, the, like, Jerome Fords and Kendre Millers and, you know, whoever the hell else he played, Tank Bigsby's, like, just got really good production out of all those guys, and all of his studs finally through. So,
well, the he posted 2 zeros, so I would say it's squarely on the shoulders of the Falcons defense. And the fact that our league has defenses still that Tronick has evaded the last place finish.
Well, he won by he's winning going to win by 70. So I think he could have not played that defense and still won.
Okay. I don't really look at numbers like that, so I'm more of a vibe
conceptually
guy.
Though, yeah. Theoretically.
Destroyed my whole anti-defense position in one line.
Yeah, that's is that what we were is that why we
have to go? I actually have to go now, but good talking to you.
Sure, if you want to blame it on the Falcons defense, feel free.
I will continue to, but yeah.
So yeah, Luke,
20,
what's that?
26 points from a defense is just
that would be very very much a tough pill to swallow if that had swung the matchup. It, you know, if it was a 10-point game or something like that, that would have been not fun. But yeah, Luke had a couple stinkers in his lineup. Tim Patrick,
yeah, not being
a very good pickup, and just didn't get enough performance or enough really out of anybody that he played. No big performances whatsoever. So yeah, another disappointing week from Luke. Has yet to break 100 points in the Constellation bracket. If Fronick is any indication, maybe that means Luke is going to drop a buck 60 on Brandon this week. But pulling up to look at Luke's round three lineup and matchups, how you feeling about his team just generally?
Yeah, I mean, similar to Brandon's team. It doesn't look, I mean, you think of Tyreek Hill and Garrett Wilson, but Tyreek Hill has not been Tyreek Hill. And I feel like that's a huge, I mean, he's already mentioned it enough, I feel like, this season. But on paper, that wide receiver lineup of Evans, Hill, and Wilson should be sick, but has just not been there. And then that, so if you don't get production from those guys, and then you have to fill in with like Tim Patrick, and it's not gonna work.
Yeah, it's not great around the edges either. So
no, and it's tough. I mean, the Steelers backfield I think is okay to be invested in, but that, yeah, DeAndre Swift, Bears were supposed to be better than they were, and they're not. So
yeah,
that was another killer. But
he also Herbert. Yeah, he, I mean, yeah, that's having Herbert and Richardson has kind of, or I guess he only really played Richardson this last week, which is a good play. But yeah, Luke definitely has salvaged what has been a pretty gnarly quarterback situation for him, and has found a couple decent options to play. I feel like he's been doing an okay job of streaming and picking up guys. But yeah, you mentioned the Pittsburgh backfield. Luke, as long as he keeps Calvin Austin in his lineup, is going to be playing two Steelers, and the Steelers are going to be playing against Kansas City, who is the best team against the run, and not the worst matchup against the pass, but not particularly easy either. So KC can definitely take the life out of teams. And so it's going to be a tough one, but you're right. It's like the Evans, Hill, and Wilson combo, all those guys, except maybe Evans, have been inconsistent enough. You definitely you can't expect more than maybe one and a half of those guys to have a great performance on any given week. I don't think he's done a lot of like mixing and matching great weeks with two or three of them. So yeah, he's in a tough spot and probably going to have to find somebody to pick up in place of Tim Patrick, which at this stage of the game is just, it's a hard thing to do, trying to pick up flex guys. So,
right. And my question for you is, in this stage of the game where seasons are saved, game chips are won, yada, 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 we kind of know what teams are at this point with the rankings, right? But at the same time, it kind of has a tendency to get weird at the end. I don't know. It could go either way. So how do you feel? How do you weigh rankings, like opponent rankings, going into this last couple weeks of the season where you kind of got to play the guys that you have to play? It's not really a time to take a chance on a streamer, you know, if you have the luxury. At the same time, I mean, you don't want the bad matchups. So where do you fall there?
How
do
you take that into your... I think specific to the toilet bracket, I think you have to lean a little heavier on the guys who you can count on and, you know, like have produced and will produce. I hate the idea of being you're in the toilet bracket because for one reason or another, your team's not quite up to snuff. And if you're the Tim Patrick play from Luke was not like a dumb play whatsoever. He had no better options and Tim Patrick had a couple good weeks. But when you whiff on
offense too.
So I don't blame him for that whatsoever. But when you whiff on a guy like that and get a zero in your lineup, when the rest of your lineup is also not particularly great and doesn't give you a lot of high ceilings all throughout, that's just going to fucking tank you. So it's like, you can't whiff even on one dude, because you likely just don't have the roster that can like pull the rest of those guys up. So I definitely would rather play the kind of boring running back against a bad matchup, like the Jaylen Warren, versus if Luke has some like crazy idea of a running back streaming guy. I would probably just play the Warren, because like, even if he gets me 8.5 points, that's better than me taking a zero and, you know, completely screwing myself. So that's I don't feel the same. I think if you're in the playoffs, you have to like take your swings. How do you see this matchup going?
I don't know. They're two teams that could go either way. I don't know. I just don't know. I was going to say names. I like Brandon's team, but I also like the names on Luke's team. His receivers are studs in theory. So I don't know. It's going to be a bloodbath and we all win except for them.
100%. Yeah. The one thing we can be certain about is that we're just going to be real happy watching this game.
And the comedy set.
Exactly.
Well, we don't do punishments in this league, but
we will for these guys.
We did.
I'd like to make an official decree that we're going to make Luke or Brandon do comedy. Brandon has to do his in French.
Can you decree things? Are you a commissioner?
I'm the only one on the fucking pod hosting, right?
True. You don't see those guys out here.
It is decreed.
Speaking of commissioners, I was hoping that Rick was going to be in the toilet bowl. Sorry, Rick, but because I keep hearing, I recently saved Florence and the Machine song. Actually, not recently, but it's come up on my shuffle a few times. And called Ship the Wreck, and there's a part in it. You can play it as like the outro, maybe that'd be awesome. But there's a part in it where she's singing like to wreck, but it sounds like to wreck.
To wreck. Yeah.
To wreck. So every time that comes on, I sing to myself, to wreck. So thanks, Rick, for keeping the pod going. To Rick.
This one's to Rick.
This one's the wreck.
This one's for the girls.
Finally.
Yeah. I'm sad Rick's not in it, just because I think Luke and Brandon are definitely very high on the list of people I would like to see do stand up. So this is a lovely matchup, but Rick is probably number one on that list for me, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to see anybody do it.
100%.
But Yeah, it'll be, we all win, except for one person. You're not,
you know, last year. Wait, so who are you picking?
Who are you picking? Bert.
That's you.
I picked the team.
I'm picking Brandon. I think.
All right.
I think he has.
I'll take Luke then.
Okay.
I believe in Mike Evans.
I know you. I know you do. Yeah. You're trying to. Yeah. You don't want to send bad vibes on Mike Evans because you know that might kick back on T and Ladd. You just want to. You want that trade to be in everybody's a winner trade.
Yeah. Everybody is a winner.
Because Luke has never taken advantage of anybody in a trade and come out the victor. Come out the Victor Cruz.
The Victor Cruz. No, he's never traded for Victor Cruz.
I feel like Luke would have been a Victor Cruz guy.
Yeah. I know he's a Tyo Cruz guy. Dynamite. Light it up like it's dynamite. You know that one?
No, I'm more of a Nelson Cruz guy. I'm more of a Carnival Cruise guy.
Carnival Cruise. He would be. Well, I saw Tyo Cruz on a Carnival Cruise.
Yeah, that is one of the main places you would see him, I think.
Yeah, he just does. He's on a Caribbean cruise. What about Tom Cruise?
Yeah.
You can believe him. Short.
One of my favorite was the crews that showed up on 9/11 to sift through the
rubble. Oh, those crews, yeah. Yeah. Those crews were good.
Those crews were heroes.
One of the best cruises. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Well, that's enough 9/11 talk.
I wasn't. By the way, the 9/11. Yeah, you're a pilot. I was saying like the fire crews that showed up to clean. If that wasn't clear, I wasn't talking about like the crew on the plane or the fact
that
the plane
cruised
into the building. I was saying the crews that showed up on the ground to clean. They're heroes.
Yikes! Did you know that the hijackers trained at the same flight school that me and Pip trained at?
Really?
A couple of them.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that was a bad crew, though. That was one of the worst crews.
Yeah.
I'm glad about that one.
All right. In lighter news, we got a natty on our hands. It's a big one.
This is the grande one.
Before we talk about the matchup, Pip. Somehow I didn't realize Pip was 7-7 this season and has just snaked his way into the finals. Pisses me out right off, if I'm being perfectly honest. Pip blew the doors off of Keskino Rotan last week.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to end up.
I have a question for you.
He's
7-7. 7-7. Do you or do you not think that records and schedule matters?
You don't want to do that. We have to get the show on the road.
Yeah. We gotta get out of here. But I just wanted you to think about that one.
I've thought about that one a little bit already. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you'll read my manifesto later. when ABC News releases it.
when the crews arrive at the scene.
Did you see my fucking points against? He yelled as he shot into the crowd.
Oh man. Schedule up.
All right.
Yeah, you were saying that Pip snaked his way in. I'm not saying that. Just
Pip snaked his way in. You deserve it. You won your way in.
Not any more than Pip does.
Can't possibly agree with it. 11-3, one seed, got the bye. last week, playoffs, took care of business, no problem. Take me through how that felt.
Pues, güey. Donde empezar? Mi equipo es muy humilde, muy agradecida para estar en el fin de semana de campeones. Quiero decir gracias a todos. Gracias a Pip. El equipo de Pip es muy poderoso. Es uno de los equipos mejores en toda la historia del Semiprodux.
When did you start practicing Mandarin?
Yeah. Fishy. Yeah, and that's pretty much all I have to say about it. I think I'm lucky to be in the position that I'm in. I certainly hope that Pip is able to pull this one out. He deserves it, just as I thought Andrew deserved it. But if it can't be Andrew, then I guess hopefully Pip. And I'm rooting for him.
No, you're not.
I am.
In what, in like a spiritual sense, or
no, in a physical sense? I hope he beats. I hope he wins. It doesn't. It's not about me versus him thing. I've gone beyond schedules. My mind. I don't know if you can comprehend this. The most can't, but I live outside of the schedule space. I purely dabble in numbers, statistics, and the matchups really don't mean anything to me. As far as I'm concerned, I'm not in the championship this week. And if Pip was, then that'd be great because I would root for him and I hope he wins. If in theory, if he was in a matchup that meant something to one of us or all of us, if that makes any sense.
Is that like a Socratean line of thinking?
Yeah, it stems from that, definitely. Yeah. Has roots in Stoicism. Breaking the fourth wall.
Oh, it's more of a Ryan Reynoldsian type of thinking.
It all stems, the cave, you know, the cave where you're there in the cave and they're like, hey, let us out of this cave.
Yeah. And then they saw their own shadow and they're like, what the
fuck? And then it was just in their mind. Yeah. What the hell? Was that a skunk? And then they beat the skunk up and they got sprayed. Yeah. So that's.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I'm starting to
see. I just had to put it in context so you could understand.
Right. I need it explained in a way that makes sense.
I'll be rooting for all players. I hope all players do well.
Equally.
I hope we all score the same amount of points this week. And if I'm being really honest, if it couldn't be Mike, at least it could be Pitt. Because he did beat Mike.
Mm-hmm.
If they were in a matchup that I could have chosen sides.
The enemy of your enemy is your friend.
And they're all friends to me. So
even luckily, Mike?
I have no ill will against Mike.
Do you have positive will against Mike?
My will towards Mike means nothing this weekend. It might as well have no will, ill or positive.
Okay. To what degree do you feel that so look, you've had a very special season to this point. There's no arguing that. Regardless of your
feeling, more special. I don't think it's any more special than any season that has ever occurred.
Look, from in my eyes, my philosophy is when a guy goes 11-3 and drops 150 on people's heads every week, that's usually the sign of a good season. That's just my personal philosophy. I don't care how you feel. Well, I think most of the listeners of this pod feel that way.
I can either say they do or they don't.
That's how I feel. But I think within those parameters of maybe analyzing mm-hmm. One's fantasy performance and fantasy season, mm-hmm. you've had a special one to this point. And mm-hmm. of course, there's 1 week to play. We don't know how that week goes. I can't see the future. Maybe this is part of your training. I'm not sure. I'm not quite sure I understand your school of thought yet, but.
Well, I'm not trained to understand the future, Jordan. I can just tell you how it is in the present, and we can look back in the past. But understanding that they're all rolled into one and that there's really no way we can say one team is better or worse than the other. So anyway, sorry.
Of course, I'm not trying to say that to you, but I'd like to ask the question, how much of the, again, success in the eyes of society and the eyes of these podcast listeners that you've had, how much of that success is due to the proverbial fantasy gods mm-hmm. versus you came into this year with a plan of attack, I'm sure. How much of what you saw, of course, again, I know nobody can see the future, but how much of this was, I would say, not predetermined, but how much of this has gone according to plan versus the gods smiling upon you?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. And I'll answer it with a question. Do you believe in God?
I do believe. Here's what I will say is maybe going into this season, I would feel agnostic, but I've experienced hell in these past 3 months. I can tell you what hell is like. And I think for there to be a hell, there has to be a God. And obviously I realize I'm not living right. I'm a long ways from where you are right now. I've got a long personal journey to go on to figure out where I went astray to deserve my fate these past 3 months. But I do still think there's a place for me in the kingdom of the fantasy gods. I guess I'm on the path and I'm just trying to put one foot in front of the other every day and try to
walk that path. That's all we can do is the path is winding and one foot in front of the other, it'll take us there as long as you listen to the wind.
I've been really taking inspiration from the Christmas special Year Without a Santa Claus. I believe it's the Ice
Sequel to Fred Claus.
I think so. Yeah, he goes where Vince Vaughn goes missing for a number of months. Turns out he was just an alcoholic and whatever. It's long story, but they have that song. Do you know the song and that one?
Where is Santa? Where can he
be? You put one foot in front of the other.
Okay.
Soon you'll be walking through that door.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to me, that means they're singing about the doors of heaven in a fantasy football sense.
Yes. I never looked at it through that lens. But I can see how that would be an interesting venture and might help you reckon with maybe rationalize the series of events, how they played out this season. But I think in my eyes, you won the championship. And that's, I've already told you, and as much as I can tell you that, I'm not even in the championship this weekend.
I am.
You are.
Thank you. That means a lot to hear. I'm going to be honest.
And I can also, I discern from what you're asking is, was it all by my planning or luck that got me to this point? Which I would resoundingly say that it was all luck. And Pip was not all luck. He had the grind, and his calculating, manipulative approach to the game really is why he deserves the win. And also, I mean, he's just a good guy.
Would you say your opponent is any more or less skilled than you?
Is skilled in what sense?
In the sense that he can react to his circumstances in fantasy and make correct moves more often than incorrect moves.
In that sense, he might be skilled, as he's skilled in many things. Pleasure in bed,
mm-hmm.
primarily.
Anything else?
There's other things. Many other things.
Name literally one. I know the pleasuring.
I just named one.
A partner in bed. This is a segment where I like to call the segment "Name Two Nice Things That Your Opponent Has Skill Wise." So obviously, one, being able to pleasure his partner in bed, and number two mm-hmm. is,
number two is he lives in Ohio. He's I would say in the top 1% of Ohioans at living in Ohio, at residing in the state of Ohio. I would say he's pretty good at that too.
That's very nice to say, and I think he'll appreciate hearing that from you.
Yeah, and I know he would. And I don't think those two things are mutually exclusive, being able to give much pleasure in bed and then also being a great Ohioan.
Are you scared about playing Adam Thielen?
I am scared in the sense that I am scared. Yes.
I think that's a yes.
Adam Thielen has been one of the greatest players of our generation, certainly.
That's true.
He has one of the hottest quarterbacks throwing to him in the entire league.
Do you really think Bryce Young is that attractive?
I do. And I think it's a hype thing for me.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that, given, I mean, Jess is not the tallest person. So I think when I think of NFL quarterbacks that most resemble Jess, I mm-hmm. guess Bryce Young would be probably in the top. Or maybe 10 percentile or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I would agree.
And then maybe last question about Pip's team.
I have time for one more question about Pip's team.
How much is so cold team. How much has the spiritual connection between Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase meant for Phillip's team? And how do you see that playing out this week?
I love Joe Burrow. And I love that Pip has him on his team. Certainly evaded nearly imminent disaster. And that was all due to the Chase Burrow connection. But there's another connection I would like to talk to you about, and that's the Chase Brown.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. Also a good guy and someone you should look out for. Again, not at all a lucky pick. Calculated.
Mm-hmm.
Generations have calculated that from to the point that we are here now has been a work of social engineering to allow me to pick Chase Brown and draft him for $3 Baja Bucks.
$3 Baja Bucks. Pretty cool.
I don't know how much he was actually.
And then I guess maybe, I'm sure you have to go, but maybe one question about your team. Do you have time?
Yeah. Yeah, I was just watching my pregnant wife. Nothing. Lift heavy objects.
Who on your team do you feel like you have the most special connection with?
I have a few special boys on my team.
Talk about it.
I don't even know where to begin. I can't put into words how special they are to me. But you'll look at it and you'll know they're my special boys.
I know. Do you feel, as you watch the culmination of this season, again, however you want to feel about this season compared to others,
Same as every other season, this will be
week 17. This will be the end of this period of time. And certainly the moments that
but you've also shared the beginning with this, of another period of time,
the moment that you've shared with this specific group of individuals, will be over in a linear time sense. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel your perception of time? Yes. You're correct. If you're perceiving time in the way that you're describing yourself as perceiving time.
Do you feel that you will find yourself being emotional about the collection of individuals that you've put in one place here?
That's the thing about it, Jordan, is that I don't belong to them. They don't belong to me. We're all the 17 of us are just randomly put together in this specific, for lack of a better word, period of time. And I will neither feel dismay at their leaving or joy at the fact that we had all spent this time together, because we were neither here nor there.
That's beautiful.
And I can't emphasize enough to you that I'm really not deserving of this.
Thank you for the words. I'm interested if, I guess just one final note, would you like to make a pick in this game? Given it is customary to come on this podcast and choose one of two players to win a matchup. I'd like to give you the floor to do that now.
And who is playing this matchup?
This will be east of Teton. We'll be playing against the Borough, which of course is Philip Andler's team.
I think the better team will win. That team will be the one that scores more points. In the numerical sense of the word, that team, I think, will deserve the championship.
And the trophy will be held by
I hope Pip will win, but I think it might be me.
There you have it, folks. I'm also choosing Scott to win this matchup. I don't think I need to say any more. I think we've analyzed this matchup just about as much as we need to. Folks, we had a few submissions for the podcast listeners, giving their thoughts on this week's matchups, both the Toilet Bowl matchup as well as the finals. But really have appreciated this conversation with Scott Fitzgerald. I can't thank you enough for coming on. I think a lot of wisdom you bring to this podcast. I think a lot of times it can be kind of small thinking on this podcast, I would say. Not a lot of it's a lot of remedial, I would say, analysis on and not a lot of deep thought and contemplation on what we're actually doing here with this league. So I appreciate you bringing your wisdom. Obviously we still all have a lot to learn. I wish you best of luck this week. I don't think you need it personally, but again, it's customary to do that on this podcast. We wish you the best.
Well, if those are your customs, Jordan, I appreciate that, and I respect your customs.
Namaste.
Namaste, and congratulations on your championship.
Thank you, Scott. Bye.
Bye.
It's hi, it's Rick. Doing my pick 'em here. I'm reading through my voice memos on my phone. I apparently don't need these very often because I have audio here from D'Amador Lenore, Travis Dye, Joe Salavea, and Justin Herbert from 2019. I can send some of those along if you want to listen to some good practice audio from 5 years ago. I'm sure that'll be interesting. Probably about as interesting as trying to predict a matchup that will be ending in a week that technically hasn't happened yet. But we're going to try. These are the matchups here, huh? So we got Scott and Pip. They both have some players on them. On the one hand, I don't think that a team starting Jacoby Myers should be eligible to win the fantasy football championship. But on the other hand, a team starting Adam Thielen probably also shouldn't be eligible. It's not great. Not very fun. I can't believe Pip's going for three in a row. Third title? Three in a row, maybe? I don't know. He deleted his Twitter, so I don't know. I can't check how many stars he has in his Twitter bio that tells me how many titles he's won, and the internet here at the Vincent's isn't great, so I barely got the ESPN app even up and running. I can't check the semi-pro page right now. It's not going to go well. Derrick Henry only scored 20, and Scott scored 136.16. That's the 6th time he scored less than 20 on the season. So, big one against Houston, probably. No James Conner. That's not great. The bitch on my Bengals stack, I think, is too good to beat right now. But on the 1% chance that Andrew does win, you know, if the Packers defense puts up minus 45, which isn't actually statistically possible, I guess I would, well, yeah, I'd still take probably Scott to win this one. Maybe, I don't know. Jacoby Myers, Adam Thielen. I don't like picking either of those things. Let's do the toilet bowl. It's looking like it's Brandon against Luke. So I guess our stand up here is gonna be elitist European jokes about how America is actually bad and Europe is better, because I don't know, they put U's in words like favorite. I guess they do that. It'll be a lot of those jokes. They're very funny. Or it's gonna be, I don't know what Luke's gonna do for his stand up comedy. That's not gonna be very fun. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. We don't even know if he's going to do stand-up. He'll make it work. He could be funny. He can just find some jokes from, like, that Will Burkhardt doesn't want to use. He can just use those. We'll just do that. So in terms of writing, of picking somebody to do stand-up, I think I'd rather hear jokes that probably come from a stand-up comedian than somebody who's going to talk about that time that they, you know, took a break, a gap year in Europe, even though Brandon's, yeah, study abroad year in Europe. How cool is that? Those jokes aren't going to be funny. So let's try to avoid those and go with Brandon over Luke in the toilet bowl. I am absolutely shocked that this is not Vronik in the toilet bowl, because he's had 8 truly awful weeks in a row, and I thought for sure he'd be doing stand-up, and instead he gets 26 from the Falcons defense, like the absolute sicko that he is, picking them up a couple weeks ago and rolling with that. I can't believe he did this. Anyways, I can't remember who I picked, but best of luck to everybody in their matchups, and hope to see you real soon.
Hey all, this is Luke, fresh off 3 days of driving from Denver to Georgia for the pod. Scott has had the best team all year and deserves to win, and Pip took a play I've never seen in my life to get to the playoffs and fumbled punt return, so I think Pip's going to win because of that, because it makes no sense. And for my matchup, I called it when I was on the pod at the beginning of the playoffs with Pip and Tim that my team sucks, I'm going to get last, and I still believe that. Brandon's going to win 120 to 85. I'm embarrassed to get last. So, yep. Happy holidays.
Hello, everybody. It's Pip here from enemy territory in Columbus, Ohio. First of all, thank you, Jordan, for putting this pod together. And thank you, everybody, whoever takes part, for your submissions. Sorry we couldn't pod last week, but Christmas, the NFL moving this over Christmas sucks. So it kind of makes it really hard to pod. And thank you to Tim, Rick, and Jordan throughout the year for hosting pods with me and keeping the thing rolling. So I appreciate all that. But let's talk a little bit of fantasy. And I guess we'll start with my matchup against Scott, assuming that the Packers don't blow the 40-point lead tonight, which I think might be impossible, and even more impossible considering they're playing the Saints. So, yeah, just a wild year for me. Obviously, a minute from not making the playoffs to now in the final, going against Scott. It's been pretty crazy. It's kind of just started to come together at the right time, and I still think that I probably don't have the best team, and I don't know if I'm the second best team in the league, but just definitely got lucky playing Andrew when his team's injuries just completely caught up to him, and he wasn't in good shape to put up a good fight, which obviously sucks for Andrew considering how well he did this year. And but he was kind of always plagued by injuries, and eventually it caught up to him. And then also just beating Mike in the first round, getting fortunate. But we talked about on the pod the matchup against Pittsburgh for Philly, I think definitely made a huge difference. And then my studs came through. So first two rounds have gone well, and it's going to be a really tough battle in the final. I know and I understand, and I totally get that everybody is going to be rooting for Scott in this game to win his first title. And if it wasn't me against Scott, then I would absolutely be pulling for him too. His second straight final, obviously making it last year and losing to Vronik, and now he's here again facing me. And Scott's third time in the finals. He's had some great teams the last 2 years, but or the last few years, especially this year, this team is stacked. I don't think I have much of a hope Last week, it kind of all came together when every single one of my players scored a touchdown, which just does not happen and hasn't happened to me all year. But yeah, it's going to be tough. Scott's got a fantastic squad, like seriously scary from top to bottom. He's won, you know, like 8 weeks in a row, and he's scoring pretty much. He's like easily scoring 130. He's not even breaking a sweat. So the only thing that really I can hang my hat on and hope for is maybe a James Conner injury. He left with a knee injury, and at the time of the recording, we don't really know what it is. And then Josh Allen's injury too. Who knows how bad that's going to be and whether they really push him or not. So we'll see what happens there. Obviously, Josh Allen not playing would be pretty critical. And Scott's just a bad matchup for me because he's got two other Bengals. So that's going to be difficult. But it's from my perspective, I went into this year wanting Chase and Burrow, and I literally could not have asked for more. Obviously, Chase is such a great talent and has been killing it. But Burrow, there were questions about his health. He's looked great all season, and he's just on fire, just easily tossing 3 touchdowns a game. And a lot of those go to Chase, which is obviously a lot of points for me. So it's a tough matchup against Denver. Kind of worried about Surtain against Chase, but obviously he's talented. So, you know, maybe that swings touchdowns towards T and Chase Brown. But we'll see what happens there. And then another bright spot for me has been Brian Thomas Jr. He's been killing it in the playoffs, I thought. And it was talked about on the pod that, you know, once Mac Jones comes in that he's going to fall off a cliff, but he's actually gotten better. He's just getting fed and is definitely my favorite player on my team, aside from those Bengals. So, yeah, it's been a good season. Just kind of scrambled a team together, had a good draft, and it's all coming together at the right time. Like I said, I think I'm kind of playing with house money in this one. Scott's team is stacked, and I'm a good team, but I'm just kind of fortunate to make it this far. And Scott has the best team. He has had the best team all season, and he's fully deserving of winning this league and this title, but it doesn't always end up that way. So congrats to Scott for a great season. I hope it's a good matchup. But I'm going to pick myself to pull the upset and take down the number one seed. Also, Scott, if he does win, kind of a Mickey Mouse championship, because he would have only played the 5 and the 6 seeds. And I think the 7 and 8 seeds were definitely more deserving of making the playoffs. So I don't know. That's just my take. So good luck, Scott. All right, to the toilet bowl, Brandon against Luke. Just crazy that these two teams are here, considering the seasons that, well, at least on the Brandon side, the season that he had and the team that everybody was really high on at the start. And then Luke's problems have been well documented, and I understand that neither of these two particularly want to be here. It is stressful. But I am going to pick Brandon in this one. Just think he's got better players, and Luke's struggles continued. It's just been rough for him. I mean, obviously the problems on his side of the ball, but then also he ran into the tale of two CDs buzzsaw, finally breaking out of his funk where Fronik couldn't score over 80 points a game, and now he put up like 150 and just kind of went off. So that's just so unlucky for Luke and kind of sums up his season. So I'm going to pick Brandon in this one to get the win and condemn Luke to the toilet bowl loser and loser punishment. So commiserations, Luke, but that's kind of way the cookie crumbles, and not something I ever thought would happen in this league. So good luck to you guys, and hope it's not too stressful.
Buongiorno, pod people. This is Brandon recording live from somewhere in the Alps. I just want you all to know that if I lose the toilet bowl, I'm never coming back from Europe. And so make all the correct decisions, Luke, in setting your lineup if you ever want to see me again. On a more serious note, I'm really glad that we've all moved on from punishments, so I will not have anything to actually worry about over the weekend and over the holidays. That being said, as someone who is moderately prideful, I really would rather not lose in the toilet bowl. So I'm going to wish Luke a good game, best wishes, and I hope that all of his players score, and I hope that they all happen on Wednesday so that I can relax the rest of the weekend and not worry about it. But in all seriousness, this is a pretty, unfortunately, good matchup. I think both of our teams are terrible, and we both hate all of them. But there is a ton of leverage between the Pittsburgh running backs and the Detroit wide receivers. So we will see if who out of those groups scores touchdowns, which I'm sure will hopefully all be Luke's players. And I will get to just relax and retire to a life in the Italian Alps. And I will delete the ESPN app off my phone and remove myself from the Facebook group chat. And I will never hear from any of you ever again. Looking over on my team, I think I hate all of them. So I'm not super attached to any of this. I'm really hoping that the team plays well, and if not, I will survive. Anyways, hope you guys are all having a good holidays. Ciao. Also, I literally didn't even look at the championship game, but I think it's Pitt versus Scott. So good luck to both of you. Bye.